Today's daf is Megillah Daf Yud Ches, and we are 11 lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis, Gufa Amar Rabba Bar Barchana Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalom of Shlomo Ben Sarah Aliza, of Vadya Ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba Ben Devorah, Devorah Basmecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Chaim Aharon Ben Fega, Hena Perel Bas Yecheved, Rafal Kos Ben Fega, Fega Liba Bas Chava, Alter Elimelech ben Liba Nacha, Shalamis bas Fega Liba, and Baruch ben Rachel. Today's daf is also being learned to Ili Nishmas, Doiv Beryl ben Rabbi Yaakov David. So at the end of yesterday's daf, we actually ended the daf abruptly. The Gemara was discussing what the Mishnah had said, and that is Hoya Koisva Darsha Umagia. If somebody was writing a Megillah, he was darshaning the Megillah, or he was editing a Megillah, Im Kivan Libai. If he said the words of the Megillah and he had a mind to be Yotza the Megillah, Yotza, the halacha is that he's going to be Yotza. And the Gemara had a little bit of a technical issue with what it means that a person's writing a Megillah, and as he's writing the Megillah, he reads the words of the Megillah, and the thought is that if he was Mechavin, he would be Yotza. Meaning it sounds like he's sitting, writing the Megillah. As he's writing it, he's pronouncing the words. Break the Gemara. If he's reading it as he's writing it, it sounds like he's not reading it from a complete Megillah. And if that's the case, how could it be Yotza? Because even though we're going to see later in today's daf that there's a machloikis, how much of the Megillah you have to read b'di'evet in order to be Yotza, for everybody agrees that the Megillah itself has to be a complete Megillah. So how's it possible that you're writing the Megillah, as you're writing it, you're reading, and im kivan liba you're going to be Yotza? So the Gemara made an ekimta. The Gemara said the Mishnah must be talking about where a person was writing a Megillah, but he wasn't writing it by heart. He had a Megillah next to him, and he's looking in that Megillah, seeing what it says, and then writing the Megillah. But when he's reading, he's not reading from the Megillah that he's writing. That's an incomplete Megillah. Rather, he's reading from the Megillah that he's writing from. That is a complete Megillah. And that's what the Mishnah means when it says, Im kivein libay, if he would have kavana, he would be yotza. Says the Gemara, if that's what the Mishnah means, and really, it has to be what the Mishnah means. Says the Gemara, Lema Misayele, maybe this is a raya to something Rabbi Bar Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So what did Rabbi Bar Chana say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? Asur lichtoiv ois achas shaloymen aksav. You're not allowed to write kisvei kodesh shaloymen aksav. A person can't sit down and write kisvei kodesh from memory. Rather, you have to read it from aksav. If Rabbi Yochanan is correct, then it's beautiful, the Mishnah. Meaning it's not just some wild ekimta, which the Gemara sometimes makes. But over here, it has to be this way. It's ma'od matim. Because really, the person writing the Megillah must have had a complete Megillah next to him. And that's what the Mishnah means. You're writing a Megillah. You're writing it mitoich haksav, because that's the way you have to write a Megillah. You're reading it from the complete Megillah. Im kivan liba yotza. But the Gemara says that even though it's true, it would seem very geshmak if the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, because as far as the kimta goes, it would make it not such an kimta, because presumably this is what was happening anyways, but it's certainly not muchach, because I could always tell you this, rami le yisramuya. Maybe punk, it's talking about a person's writing a Megillah from a Megillah, but not necessarily because that's the way it has to be done. Either way, we just mentioned what Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and that is that you're not allowed to write kisvei kodesh alei min aksav. So the Gemara now, from here until the bottom of the Amid, is going to elaborate on that point. Gufa. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Also, lichtev ois acha shaloi min aksav. You're not allowed to write even one letter of kisvei kodesh shaloi min aksav. Meisavei freit the Gemara. I'll ask you a kasha. Amar Rab Shimon ben Alaz. Shimon ben Alaz said, Meisav Ramei. There was a story with the great Ramei. Shah Alach la Abre Shana Asya. He went to the land of Asya, and the reason he was there was to calculate and determine whether or not they should be Ma'abr the Shana. They should add an Adr Sheni. Now, this was Adar time, which makes sense, because the month that they were always Ma'aber was Adar. And there was no Megillah when it came Purim. The Kosva Miliboy. So Rameir was a cipher, and Rameir, from memory, sat down, and he wrote a Megillah. The Kara, and he read from the Megillah. What's the Kasha? You see that you're allowed to write Kisvei Kodesh, Megillas Esther, even Shloim and Aksav. Am Rabavo, Rabavo, Sachani Rameir. Don't ask any Kashas from Rameir. The Mekayim Bei Va'afa Pecho Yashiru Negdecho. Meaning, Rav Meir had a phenomenal memory. And because he had a phenomenal memory, therefore he was allowed to do it. So the Gemara just explains. What does it mean, that pasuk? He told him, it's referring to Torah. It says, Torah is something that's not easy to acquire. However, once you acquire it, it's very easy to lose. So you're on the wrong side of both ends of the equation. Very difficult to acquire, but at the same time, you blink your eye from it, it's going to be gone. But means that by Rav Meir, it was very, very clear, Rav Meir had an incredible memory. Being that Rav Meir had an incredible memory, so it's for that reason Rav Meir is different. And even though ordinarily a sofer is not allowed to write Shaloi Menaksab, but when it comes to Rav Meir, it's going to be different. Zokti Gemara, Ashkechei, Rav Chizda Ashkechei l'Rav Chananel. Rav Chizda met the Amora Rav Chananel, not to be confused with the Rishon, Rabbeinu Chananel. So Rav Chizda meets the Amora Rav Chananel. Davakosav Svarim Shaloi Menaksab, and he was writing Svarim, and he wasn't writing it from Aksav. He was writing it by memory. Amaleis, Rav Chizda told him, Re'uya kol ha-Torah kuli kasav al-picha. You're such a Baal Kishrin that really, in truth, you can write the entire Torah by memory. Ella, however, kach amru chachamim, the chachamim said, asur lichtav oisacha shalai min aksav. It's also to write even one letter of the Torah shalai min aksav. So the Gemara asks, midakamar kol ha-Torah kuli ru'ya shalai kasav al-picha, from the fact that Rav Chizda told Rav Chananel that really you're someone who could theoretically write the whole Torah from memory. So clearly he was a Baal Kishrin, right? You see, he had a great memory. And yet you see, Rav Meir did write it. Meaning, the Gemara is asking a kasha on Rav Chizda from Rav Meir. We have a Maisa Shahaya Kachaya where Rav Meir was in Asya. He wrote a Megillah from memory. Frank the Gemara, are you not allowed to do it? Says the Gemara, Rav Meir is different because of Rav Meir's memory. Frank the Gemara, Rav Chizda once met Rav Chananel. Rav Chananel was doing the same thing Rav Meir did in Asya, and Rav Chizda told Rav Chananel, even though really you have such a good memory, still you're not allowed to do it. What do you mean? If Rav Meir did it, then why can't Rav Chananel do it? And really, it's a kasha on who? It's a kasha on Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda's an Amora, and he is paskening to Rav Chananel, not like a Tana, not like something Rav Meir did. And for the Gemara, you have to say, Shasat Chakshani. Revisit Rav Meir. The reason it was okay for Rav Meir to do it wasn't simply because of his phenomenal memory. Yeah, that, of course, is a prerequisite. If a person doesn't have such a good memory, you can't sit and write a Sefer Torah or anything, for that matter, based on your Zikaron. The reason, however, Rav Meir was able to do it was because it was also a Shas Hadchak. He was in a land, Asya. There was no Megillah. It was Purim. So there was no other Eitzah. And therefore, Rav Meir did it. But in the case of Rav Chananel, even though it's true he had a memory that maybe rivaled that of Rav Meir, but at the same time, he didn't. It wasn't a Shas Hadchak. And because it wasn't a Shas Hadchak, it's for that reason it wasn't okay. So look at the Gemara on this note. Abaye Sharu L'Devei Bar Chavu L'Michtav Tfilin Mezuzah Shalai Min Aksav. So Rashi says that the family of Bar Chavu, they were Meichrei Tfilin. They used to sell Tfilin. They were in the stam business. So Abaya gave them a permit. He gave them a big kula. He said, if you want, you can sit and write Tfilin and Mezuzahs Shalai Min Aksav. You can write it by memory. Come on. So the Gemara says, Kei Tana. It must be like the following Tana. Tanya we learned to the Brice. Rabbi Yirmi Oimer. Rabbi Yirmi said, Mishum Rabbeinu in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So Stam Rabbi Yirmi and Shas was in Amoira. This is Rabbi Yirmiya Atana. He's mentioned in a Braisa. So Rabbi Yirmiya says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Tfilin Mezuzah is Nechtav Shalai Min Aksav. Tfilin Mezuzah, you're allowed to write. Even Shalai Min Aksav, you can write it from memory. Not just that. Ve'in Tzricha Sirtut. And Tfilin and Mezuzah do not require Sirtut. You don't have to make the lines. Ve'ilchas Adalach is Tfilin Ein Tzricha Sirtut. It's true, Tfilin doesn't need Sirtut. Mezuzah is Tzrichin Sirtut. Mezuzahs do need Sirtut. What about Sefer Torah? Does it need Sirtut or not? So that we mentioned on Daf Tezayin, that it's a machloitis Rashi in Megillah Tezayin Amidbeis and Toisvis in Gittin Davav Amidbeis, where the Sefer Torah needs Sirtut. But either way, what we need is Nechtavish Shalai Min Aksav. You're allowed to write them Shalai Min Aksav. You could write Tefillin and Mezuzah Shalai Min Aksav. My time, and what's the reason? Migras Grisin, because this is something that people know. And because people know this, so it's for that reason that it's going to be okay. So before we go weiter, just two short ha'aris related to this Gemara. So the Gemara mentioned a halacha, Asur lichtoiv ois achas shaloi min aksav. It's asur for a person to write, even an ois achas, this is a soifer, shaloi min aksav. When you write it, you have to be looking inside. You can't rely on your memory when it comes to writing kisvei kodesh. The Gemara doesn't give a reason, but l'chur, the reason's pashut, and really, it's based on a Gemara somewhere else, specifically Erevin Daf Yud Gimel Amar Aleph. It's also a Gemara Masechta Soita Daf Chaf Amar Aleph. The Gemara said Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel Mishum Rameir. He was quoting Rameir. So this is Rameir talking. Sheisi Loimid Eitz Rav Yakiva. Rameir said when I learned Torah Rav Yakiva, Hayisi Matul Kankantum L'Toich Hadiyoy. I used to put Kankantum. It's a certain type of dye into my ink. He never told me anything. Rabbi Akiva, that is. When it came to Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Li, so Rabbi Shmuel told me, Pini, my son, Mamalachtecha, what do you do for a living? I told him, Lavlarani. I told him I'm a cipher. Amar Li, so he told him, Pini, my son, have Yizar b'malachtecha. Be very careful with your avoida. Shemalachtecha melecha shemayim. Because what you're doing is melecha shemayim, right? Some jobs are more mundane in nature. But to be a cipher, that's melecha shemayim. Okay. Shema ata mechaser oisachas oy miyater oisachas. Rabbi Shmuel said you have to be careful not to leave out a letter or not to add an extra letter. Because if you do, nimtzas, it's going to come out. It will emerge that machriv at koloi lam kuloi. You will destroy the entire world. So the Gemara says he told him about this kankantum, and there's a whole discussion. But Rabbi Shmuel gives Rameir an epic Musar Shmuz, and he tells him, you're a lavler, you're a soifer, you're a younger man, I'm giving you good advice. Make sure you're very, very careful. Don't leave out a letter, don't add a letter. You have to be careful. Why? Because if you're going to make a mistake, even with an oisachas, nim says, machrif kol oilam kula, it's going to come out, there's going to be a churban. So you see, the Chazal were very, very sensitive to how a soifer writes the Sefer Torah. At the end of the day, the Sefer Torah is the Mesoira, and even an oisachas can make a difference in a pshat, and it could be machriv the entire world. It's pashat. That's what the Gemara means. That's why when it comes to writing a Sefer Torah, you have to be very, very careful, and you have to make sure that when you write your Sefer, or whatever it is, you write it mitoich haksav. If you write it mitoich haksav, that's just a safety measure that you're taking to make sure that you're not going to miss a letter, and you're not going to add a letter. It's interesting, the Gemara mentioned that Shani Rav Meir, the Mekayim Bei Va'af HaPecho Yashiru Negdecho. Rav Meir had an incredible memory. Rav Meir didn't forget his learning. You know, the Gemara, Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, describes Rav Meir. And the Gemara says about Rav Meir, quote, anyone that saw Rav Meir in the Beis Medrash, he was ki'ilu oikir hore horim v'toychan an zebezeh. He was the equivalent of a person that's able to rip out mountains and take the mountains and grind them against each other. Meaning, he was a powerhouse. He was a super lamdan. He was not just an oikir harim, he was an oikir hore horim. Right, we know throughout Shas, the Gemara referred to the lamdan as the, quote, oikir harim. The Baki was referred to as the Sinai. So Rav Meir goes down as the quintessential Oikahar. But at the same time, you see in our Gemara that Rav Meir was a Bar Sid She'ena Ma'apetipa. You see, the Rav Meir had a tremendous Zikaron, which you would think led, in addition to that, to a tremendous Bekias. The Emes is, the Gemara says in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel, if you go through that Gemara, so the Gemara says Rav Meir was a Talmud of Rabbi Yishmael, and he was also a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. And what emerges from that Gemara is that Rav Meir learned a lot of information, a lot of Bekias from Rabbi Yishmael, and he learned a lot of Lumdas from Rabbi Akiva. Rav Meir also had a Rabbi Elisha Bar Avua, but that's a whole nother shmuz. But the bottom line is Rav Meir has both milas. You see, he's a Bar Sid She'ena Ma'apetipa, he's Va'af HaPecha Yashiru Negdecha, and at the same time, you also see that Rav Meir is not just an Oikir Harim, but Rav Meir is an Oikir Hare Harim. But just one Dover Nifla that I saw in the Netzoy Tzayar for Abruvi Margolis, this is particularly interesting, and that is the Gemara quotes the pasuk Einecho benoichach yabitu va'af apecho yaishiru negdecho to describe the memory of Rav Meir. So listen to what Rav Ruvi Margolis says. It's kedai to read it inside. Yesh non harbe anoshin bali zikaren. There are many people that have good memories. Asher im koyrim eza pasuk kam upon them. What does it mean to have a good memory? If they read something many times, zaychrim him kol mashakasavai b'lishoynu b'signunai. I mean, there's a concept that a person has a good memory. Meanings, if he chazers, he puts koiches into it, he works on it, he repeats it again and again, he chazers. So eventually it's going to really, really stick by him. But this is a person that has a good zikaron, and it comes from working hard. But then he says, v'yesh bali zikaron phenomenally, he says. There are people that have a, quote, phenomenal memory. Shetzuras hadaf me'asefer shalom d'boy nechkeka b'libam. That if they look at a tzuras hadaf, it's nechkach b'libam. Literally. So let's say someone's talking about somebody, right? You're repeating something that somebody said. Okay, so very often that person who you're saying over from is staring at you, right? You see the person. You literally see a picture of him. So too, there are people, kach bal zikorim mufle kozeh, im nisker me eza parsha, roya hu oisek suva lefanov, besefer shalom aboy. He's able to literally see it in front of him. So that's a whole different memory. It's what we know as a photographic memory. That's literally what it is. So says Rav Reuven Margolis, there's two types of Bali Zikaron. There are people that just have a good Zikaron. Then there are people that literally, they're walking through life and they're taking photographs. They're taking snapshots, Kodak moments of things that they learn. And all of a sudden, they have this whole archive of different things that they've learned in the past. So says Rav Reuven Margolis, Yesh Leimar, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei, Einecha l'noichach yabitu, to describe the memory of Rav Meir. Says, I think what the Pasuk is saying and what the Gemara means to extract from this Pasuk is that Rav Meir's Torah was a necho l'noichach yabito. He was always looking at his Torah. He had a photographic memory. And that's what the Pasuk means. Meaning, what is the connection between a nechel and oichach yabitu v'afapech yashiru negdechel to this phenomenal quote-unquote memory of Rav Meir? The Teretz is, it was a photographic memory. So he's looking at the Torah. He sees it in front of him. It's interesting because the Velt says, and it's in the bio of Hagoyin Agadol, Rav Reuven Margolis, that Rav Reuven Margolis had a photographic memory. And that's a term that's overused. But if you go through Rav Reuven Margolis' Svarim, it's not rochik min haseichel to think that that was in fact the case. The kach shamati from people that knew Rav Reuven Margolis, that he had a bona fide photographic memory. And it's interesting, tucked away here in his Netzoit Seyar, Mesachtes Megillah, Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis, he has a little thesis on different types of Bali Zikaron and darshaning a Gemara mit Apasik, on this concept of a photographic memory. Zakti Gemara Vaitas. And the Mishnah said, Hoysik Suva, Besam, Uve Sikra, Uve Kumus, Uve Kankantun, Alaniyar Val Difra Layat. All those things are not good. What is good? You have to write it, the Megillah that is, Biksav Ashuris, has to be Allah Sefer, right, on parchment. Ubidyoy, it has to be done with blacking. So the Gemara is going to go through all these things that are not going to explain what they are. What's Sam? So if you write a Megillah with Sam, it's not okay. Sam is Sama. Okay. Sikra, what is that? Omar Rabba Bar Barchana Sakartashma. It's some red dye. Kumus, Kuma. Rashi says, Srafo Ilan. It's the sap of a tree. Kankantum, Charta de Ushpachi. This is some black dye that the shoemakers used to use. Diphtera. Diphtera is a parchment. The Maliach, it was salted. It was processed with flour of aloy offets, but it wasn't processed with gallnuts, which was something that is used in the processing of hides. Niyar, what's niyar? Machka, that's what that is. Achitek suva ashuras. So what then makes a Megillah kosher? It has to be written in ksav ashuras, the ksiv, because the pasuk says, kichsav amuchizmanam, and the original was done in ksav ashuras. So this is the way it also always has to be. Ala sefer, but how do you know it has to be on a sefer? Minolan, asik ksiv, ksiv, ksiv. It says over here, vatichtoiv Esther Amalka. It says Esther Amalka wrote everything. The ksiv, and it says, Vir, Vayomer Lehem Baruch Mipiv, Yikra Elias, Kolad Varma Elav, Ani Koisev Ala Sefer Bidyoy. So it says here, Vatichtoiv, it says over there, Vani Koisev Ala Sefer. Just like over there, it's Ala Sefer, so to here, it has to be Ala Sefer as well. So moving along. Zok the Mishnah. Ben Ir Shaholach Lekrach. So we know, this was the first Mishnah in the Masech. The Megillah and the Kras, be it Aleph, be it Beis, be it Gimel, be it Dal, Tezvav. Most people read the Megillah on Yodal. Meaning, if you live in a city that's not walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun, so the mitzvah is to read the Megillah on Yodal at Adar. If you live in a city that's Mukafes Chaimim, Yemais Yeshua ben Nun, you read the Megillah on Tezvav. And then the people that lived in the villages, they were Makdim Eliyah Maknisa, which can mean either Yod Aleph, or Yod Beis, or Yod Gimel. So it says the Mishnah, what happens if you live in an ear? You live in a city whose din it is to read the Megillah on Yud Aleph Adar. Shaholach Lekrach, but you're spending Purim in a city that's walled me Mois Yeshua Ben Nun. Or, Uben Krach Shaholach Leir, you live in a city that's walled from the times of Yeshua Ben Nun, and you're now spending Purim in a city that is not walled from the times of Yeshua Ben Nun. Meaning, you live in a city where you're supposed to read the Megillah on Tesvav Adar, but you're spending Purim in a city where the people there read the Megillah on Yud Aleph Adar. Im Asad Lach Salim Kaima, says the Mishnah, if you're planning on going back home, Kairim Kaima, so then you should read the Megillah when you get home, based on that din, Vim Lav. And if not, Kairim Mon, you should read the Megillah with them. Mehechen Kairim Adam Sam Megillah Vyaytzeva Yidei Chayvase. So look at Chili, you're supposed to read the whole Megillah, from Vayhibi Meach HaShverish, all the way till the end. But Bidi Yevet, Could you be yoitz if you don't read the whole Megillah? Meaning, what do you have to do for sure? Rav Meir Omer, kula, the whole thing. Rav Yehuda Omer, me ish Yehudi hoya b'shushan abira. Rav Yoisi Omer, me achar advarim mo'ela, gidal hamelach achashverish es homam ben amdasa. So we'll see more about everything in the Gemara. So beginning with the first part of the Mishnah. So the first part of the Mishnah discussed a ben ir shaholach lekrach, Uben krach shaholach leir. And what did the Mishnah say? If you plan on going home, kairikim kaim, then you should read based on where you come from. If not, kairimoim, you should read based on where it is you are. So Rava commented on the Gemara, on my Rava, this is only true, shah asad lachsa belele arba asad. So Rashi says Rava was talking specifically about the ben krach shaholach leir. Now the same is true for the ben ir shaholach lekrach. It's the same principle, but Rashi says, just to understand the words of Rava, we're talking about somebody that lives in a krach. He lives in a city that's walled in Mois Yeshua Benon. So if he was home, he'd be reading the Megillah on Tesvav Adar. He, however, right now is in an ir. He's in a city that's not walled from the times Yeshua Benon. What did the Mishnah say? If he plans on going home, koire bim koimai. If not, then you should do what you're doing there. So Rava said, this that we say, that if you plan on going home, you should be koir bim koimai, that is only if you plan on going home b'leil arba asar, the night of the 14th. Meaning, by the time the sun rises the next morning, by amud ha-shachar of your dalet zokrashi, you're not going to be there anymore. You're going to be home. Aval ein asad lachsa b'leil arba asar. But if you don't plan on going home b'leil your dalet, meaning, you're going to wake up in the morning on your dalet, and you're still going to be in the ear, koir imam, then you're supposed to follow the place that you're in now, meaning Daitei Lachser means only if you're Daitei Lachser the first night of Mikra Megillah. But if you're not Daitei Lachser the first night of Mikra Megillah, you're going to go back even the day of Mikra Megillah, then already you're Kari Mom. That first night, you have to read the Megillah where you are. Oh, my Rava, Rava said, no, I mean, how do I know this? Because the Pasuk says, Alkina Yehudim HaProzim HaYoshvim Ba'orei HaProzis. We're talking about Yehudim HaProzim. The Yehudim that are prozim, meaning they live in open cities. Isn't that redundant? The Yehudim HaProzim, the Yoshvim Bari HaProzis. Hakam Ashmon, this is the Chiddush. The Parus Ben Yoimai Nikra Proz. That someone that is in a Proz, even for one day, he's considered a Proz. So you see that even if you die to Lachzar that same day, that's enough for you to be considered like a Proz. It's enough for you to be considered like the place that you're in. So what does that mean, Rava? If you die to Lachzer at night, you're not even going to be there a full day. So that's when the halacha is that you're going to read Kim Koimai based on where it is that you live. However, if you're a Pruz Ben Yoimai, as long as you're going to make it into the day, the sun is going to rise and you're going to be in that city, Pruz Ben Yoimai Nikra Pruz, that's going to be enough for you to have this halacha that you are going to be Kairi Imoim. So the Gemara says, Ashkecham Pruz, Mukaf Minolan. We just brought a Pasik. Alkena Yehudim HaProzim. Hayoshim Bari HaProzim. We have a Ganser Drosha to tell me that a Pruz Ben Yoim is considered a Pruz. How do you know Mukaf Ben Yoim? How do you know if somebody who lives in a Pruz, he happens to be in a walled city now, he's there for one day, he's considered a Mukaf? So the Gemara says, Svaru, that's easy. Mid the Pruz Ben Yoim, Kairi Pruz, Mukaf Ben Yoim, Kairi Mukaf. If being in a unwalled city for one day gives you the halachic status as being in an unwalled city, then if being in a walled city for one day would give you the halachic status of being in a walled city as well. Meaning, again, when you read the Mishnah, it sounded like from the Mishnah a little bit, that im asid lachzor l'mkoy mekoyra, right? If you're going to go back home, I don't know, within the week, Rav is saying one day is already enough for you to have a din as the halachic status of the place that you're in. So what does it mean, asad lachzor? You're not even going to be there in the morning. That first night of Purim, you're asad lachzor. But if you're going to be there tomorrow, you have a din of a pruz ben yoimai, or a mukif ben yoimai, ikri pruz, ikri mukif, and that would be enough in order for you to be obligated. Amar Rava, Rava said, ben kfar shalach leir. Someone that lives in a kfar. He lives in a village. Remember, the villagers had the kula that they could read the Megillah in Yud Aleph, in Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel. Now, this person went to a city where they read in Yud Aleph, Ben Kachu, Ben Kach, Kari Iman. He for sure should read the Megillah. If you're in a city on Yud Aleph, even, here's the Chiddush, though you read the Megillah already, right? You read it in Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, still Kari Iman, you should read the Megillah with him. Zog Gemara, my time. Because Hayin Kibnei Yo'ir Bo'i L'Mikri. Really, this person should have the halachic status of a Nir. You live in a village, like living in a city. You should be reading the Megillah on Yud Dalet. V'Rabbanon Huda Kilo Al HaKfar. It's just that the Rabbanon were makel for the villagers, K'deshi Yisafku Mayim U'mazin L'Achim Shevekrakim. So that they should be able to sustain and support the people living in the large cities. Which, by the way, was only the Havamin of the Gemara, if you remember, on Daf Dalet Amid Beis. It's really not K'deshi Yisafku Mayim U'mazin, but rather it was what the Gemara say, Mipnei Shemesaf Gemayim U'mazin. But either way, same difference. The point is, so therefore, the whole idea of the people living in the villages reading the Megillah earlier, it's just based on a kula. That's only if you're in your place. But if you're in a city, then it's posh, you would have to read the Megillah like the people in that city. Someone that lives in a krach, and he went to a city, it doesn't matter what the story is, you're always supposed to be koyre kim koyma. So again, read the words. Ben krach, you live in a walled city. You went to a city where it's yodalit. Ben kach u ben kach. What does it mean, ben kach u ben kach? Doesn't matter this or that. Doesn't matter if you plan on going back, you don't plan on going back. Taite lachse, not taite lachse, right? That's like the only variable in the sugya. You're going back, you're not going back. So ben kach u ben kach, you're always going to be koyre kim koyma. Fake the gemara. Ben krach sol kataite. This is all Abaye talking. So Abaye says, is that possible? Ben masa lachse tal yamil. It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if you live in an ear and you go to a krach, you live in a krach and you go to an ear, it matters very much whether you're asad lachse or not. So how could you tell me ben kach u ben kach? Elola ben kfar. So it must be ben kfar. Meaning you have to edit the Braisa, which sometimes you need to do. So set up by, let's reread the Braisa. Ben kfar shalach leir, ben kach u ben kach, kerikim kaimai. Meaning you do what you do in the kfarim, you don't do what they're doing in the city. Sabaya told Rava, it's a kasha on your halacha. Rava, you just said a major halacha, ben kfar shalach leir, ben kach u ben kach, kaira imahem. So Tabaya, I have a Braisa that says just the opposite. Ben kfar shalach leir, ben kach u ben kach, kaira kim kaimai. Rava said, kaira imahem. And the Braisa says, Kaira Kim Kaimai, which is literally the diametric opposite to what Rava said. This is Abaya's Kasha. So what did Rava tell Abaya? Rava told Abaya, Abaya, if you had a Braisa, I would be masking. You don't have a Braisa. You have a Braisa that said, Ben Krach Shaholach Leir. What did you do? You edited the Braisa. You said, it doesn't mean Ben Krach, it means Ben Kfar. And I hear where you're coming from. Rava told Abaya, I'm asking, because it can't be krach. Because if it means ben krach, ben kachu ben kach, it's connected to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said it's not ben kachu ben kach. But said Rava, my point is something else. Here's the punchline. V'lav trutzei metartzis, you're forced to edit the Braisa. Because you can't read the Braisa the way it's written. It's written ben krach. And it's for sure not ben krach. It's obviously ben kvar. What are you doing? You're editing the Braisa, which I agree with. But no, once you're editing the Braisa, you can make another edit. Tana Kairi Iman. Instead of it saying Kairi Kim Kaimai, which would contradict what I said, Rava, make it Kairi Iman, and it'll be supportive of what I said. I mean, this is clearly a Braisa that was not edited properly. Whoever transmitted this Braisa somewhere along the way made a mistake. And as a result, said Rava, once it's already proven that this Braisa has a Grais, no, so you make it another mistake. It's not the end of the world, and therefore just attribute a second mistake to it. And if that's the case, it's going to be okay. So again, the Mishnah discussed, the first part of the Mishnah, mentioned the halacha of a ben ir shehalach lekrach, u ben krach shehalach leir. What's the halacha? You come from a place where they read a yudal, but you're spending Purim in a place where it's tezvav, or vice versa. So the Mishnah said one line, im asid lachzer lim koimai, koiri kim koimai. V'im lav, koiri imam. Do you plan on going home? Do you not plan on going home? The Gemara brought two halachas that Rava said, two comments from the Amora Rava on this Mishnah, both obviously very, very important. Number one, the first halacha Rava said is that when the Mishnah said asad lachzer, means you're not even going to spend the whole Purim there. You're asad lachzer at night. But if you're going to spend Purim there, pruz ben yoyma ikri pruz. As long as you're there for that one day, that's enough for you to be considered like the city that you're in, and you're going to follow the halacha of the place that you're in. The second halacha he said, Rava, was, as it relates to the kfarim, what would be if someone comes from a place where the din is to read the Megillah, but Yudalip, Yudbeis, and Yudgimel, and now you find yourself in a place where it's Yudalip and Tezvah, for sure you would have to read the Megillah based on the way they're doing it over there. Now, we're going to just go right there now, but it is worth mentioning that this Gemara that we just learned, these 10 or so lines, are probably the 10 most lumdish lines in the entire Masechtas Megillah. And the truth is that there have been Svarim and Chiburim written on this one Gemara, lumdis and super lumdis. My Rebbe, Hagoyin Agadur, Rav Shlomo Feivel, Shustel Shlita, always said a shir on this sugya every year, Purim time. Very, very lumdish sugya, but we're going to do what we do. Zok de Gemara Vayta. Meheichan kaira adam es ha-megillah v'chul. So, of course, ideally, you read the whole Megillah. However, it's not ma'akiv to read the whole Megillah. So the question is, how much of the Megillah do you have to read b'di'evin? And the Mishnah mentioned three shittas. Rameir said, what do you mean? The whole Megillah. You start from the beginning, you go to the end. Every word of the Megillah is important. Hakayir l'mafreil l'yatza, right? Every word, every nuance plays into the grace and ness. So you have to read the entire Megillah. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, you don't have to. Me'ish Yehudi. What's Ish Yehudi? Ish Yehudi hayu b'shushan abirush. My Mardechai. Meaning, as soon as Mordechai comes onto the scene, that's the part of the Megillah that's Ma'akev. Rabbi Yossi said, Me'acha advarim ma'ela, which is where Haman comes onto the scene. So according to Rabbi Meir, the whole Megillah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's from Mardchai, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's from Haman. Tanya, we learned in a braisa, a fourth shita. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, "Mibalayla hu nada doshnas amelach." That's the part you're supposed to read from. I'm Rabbi Yochai, and said, "The kulam mikra echad darshim." That really, all these tanam, they formulated their position based on a pasuk. The pasuk that they formulated it based off of is in the Megillah, not surprisingly, and the pasuk is the same pasuk. Vatichtoiv Esther Hamalka Pasavichayo Umordechai Hayehudi Es Kol Toikef. So Esther and Mordechai wrote the story of Purim, but what did they write? They wrote the toikef. So what does the word toikef mean? Toikef is a lashon of tkifi, of strong, of powerful. So there's an emphasis on the word toikef, strength, power. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, mandam akula. The mandam that says that the Purim story that was written was the toikef. That's what we need to write even li'ikuvah, or that's what we have to read, even Likuva, it means the Toikav of Achashverosh. Oh, the Toikav of Achashverosh, the power of Achashverosh, as it's manifest in the Purim story, begins with the first verse. Vayihibi me Achashverosh. That's why it's the whole Megillah. Mandam Mishuhudi Toik Feshel Mordechai. It's the Toikav, it's the power of Mordechai in the story. Umandam Meachad Varma'ela, it's Toik Feshel Haman. Umandam Balaila, who? It's Toik Feshel Nes. It's the Toikav of the miracle. Hunam Ravhuna said Mehacha. No, that they, that Tanoim formulated their position based on a pasuk. Again, the same pasuk, but it's a different pasuk. So the pasuk says, and this is at the end of the Megillah, Al Kain Karul Ayomim Ma'ila Purim, Al Shem HaPur, Al Kain, Al Kol Divrei Hoigeres Azois, Uma Ro'u Al Kocha, Uma Higia Aleim. As if to say there was a little bit of an ironic twist, you think, V'nahapachu, that took place in the Purim story, Uma Ro'u Al Kocha, and this pasuk, those words, this is what was driving the Tanan to come up with their sheet. The man that said, Kula, this is the way he understands his pasuk. Again, just appreciate a little bit more. Al Kain, Karu Layom, Melo Pur, Mashem Apur. Al Kain, Al Kol Divrei Igeres Azoy. So we're talking about the Igeres. The Igeres is the Megillah. So this pasuk is like describing what the main part of the Megillah is. And it could be described with this one Pasik umaro al kach megi ale. So again, mandam and kulam maro Achashverosh nishtamish bekelim shel Beis Hamikdash. What did Achashverosh see? Think about what he did. He went and he took out the camel of the Beis Hamikdash. Al kacha. Why did he do it? Again, maro al kacha. What maro? What did he do? He took out the camel of the Beis Hamikdash. Al kacha. The reason he did it was shun dechashav shivin shnevel yifrik. The Gemara daf yud alef on the base because he made a cheshbon of the 70 years. He saw the geula didn't come. He said, "Oh, it's all over." Umagi alem. What was his punishment? The cult of Vashti. Right, when Bashetzer did it, Bashetzer himself got killed. When Achashverosh did it, Vashti got killed. But Vashti ends up getting killed. So that's Uma Ro'u. What did Achashverosh do? What did he see to do? He took out the camel of the Beis Hamikdash. Al Kocha, because he made a cheshbon of 70 years and there was no Geula. Uma Gi Aleim, Vashti. Madam Mishuhudi, Ma'ra Mordechai, Dekni Bahaman. What did Mordechai see that he incited Haman? Al Kocha. The reason he did it was, meaning, why Taka did he incite Haman? The Shavu Nafshi Avayi Dazar, because Haman was Avayi Dazar, he's not bound down to him. Umay Gi Aleim, and what came about because of it? This Rachash Nisa, a great miracle. Mando Menachad Var Meela, Ma'ra Haman, the Iker of this point is Haman. What did Haman see? Sheneskana Bekala Yehudim, they got angry at all the Jews. Al Kocha, what caused Haman to get angry? Shun the Mardcha La Yechav Leishtach, because Mardcha wasn't bowing down to him. Umay Gi Aleim, what happened to Haman? Vetalu Oitzav, his man of Aleitz, he was hung. Mando Mibalai Lahu, Mando Mibalai Lahu, because this pasuk epitomizes really the narrative from Balai Lahu. Ma'ra Achashverosh, Lohavi Yasef HaZachronis. What happened, Balai Lahu? Achashverosh can't fall asleep. So he says, bring the Seif HaZachronis. And that's what he did. Why did he do it al kacha? Dizaminte Esther Lahaman, Bahadeh. Because Esther had invited Haman together with him to this party, and he started getting suspicious. And he thought, maybe there's a plot, and no one's telling me. You know why nobody's telling me? Because the last time somebody told me, no one did. I didn't do anything about it, right? That's what drove the whole thing. Umay, Gi Aleim. What was the end of the story? This Rachash Nisa. Am Rab Chelwi, Am Rab Chama Bar Gurio, Am Rab. Halacha, the halacha is Kedivrei Ha'omer, like the man Namer who says Kula, that you have to read the whole Megillah. Meaning we paskin like Rab Meir, Vafilu, the man Namer Mishihudi, and then he added, even according to the man Namer that says that it's only for Mishihudi, but Tzrichash Deksuva Kula. But at the very least, everyone agrees that the entire Megillah has to be written. So an interesting machloikis, how much of the Megillah is ma'akif to be written, and two different pshatim as to where those shittas base their opinion on. Weiter. V'amar Rav Chelboy, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya. So we just mentioned something that Rav Chelboy said in the name of Rav Chama Bar Gurya. That's Negeya Mikra Megillah. That halachas that you have to read the whole Megillah. And even the Madama says you don't have to, but at least the whole Megillah has to be written. Some more halachas that Rav Chelboy said in the name of Rav Chama Bar Gurya, specifically related to Purim. Megillah Nikras Sefer. Megillah is called a Sefer, like a Sefer Torah. Nikras Igeres. It's also called a letter. Nikras Sefer. It's called a Sefer. Shem Tafra B'chutei Pishtan Psula. If you would tie together the parchments using Pishtan, using flax, it would be possible. Because a Sefer Torah is possible if you do it that way. How do you tie a Sefer Torah? With Gidin, with sinews. So that's the way you have to do the Megillah. But at the same time, the Megillah is called an Igeres. Shem Hito Bashloisha Chutei Gidin Ksher. If you would have three of these sinews, it would be kosher. As opposed to a Sefer Torah, which needs more. Rav Nachman said, well, actually, Mishulashi. You just have to make sure that it's going to be Mishulashi. Meaning the three that you're going to use should be spaced out where it looks nice. You don't have like three all on the top. It should be spaced out. Mishuloshim. Everything should be equidistant. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. Akir b'megillah aksuvah bein aksuvah layata. What if somebody has a Megillah? It's a kosher Megillah. It's in a cloth. But it's part of a larger body of ksuvim. So for example, you have the five Megillahs. They're in a cloth. It's something very, very nice. But the Esther is not its own Megillah. It's just part of something larger. Is it okay or not? So Rav Yehuda said that he heard from his Rebbe Shmuel, lo yotza. Amar Rava, Rava said, you have to read the fine print. Lo yomar, that's only true. Elden mechastru miyatra porta. That's only true if the Esther portion is not larger or smaller than the rest. Ava mechastru miyatra porta, if it's a little bit small, a little bit bigger, less lamba, then it's not going to be a problem. As long as it sticks out, that in of itself is going to be okay. Rashi says, if it has a heker la'atzma, meaning if it's distinguished, that's when it's okay. Levi Bar Shmuel, Havakakari Kamei, Rabbi Yehuda ben Megillah, Haksuva ben Haksuvim. Levi Bar Shmuel was once reading the Megillah in the presence of Rabbi Yehuda, using such a Megillah. It was Ksuva ben Haksuvim. Amalei told him, Harei Amru, I heard this from my Rabbi Shmuel. Hakair ben Megillah, Haksuva ben Haksuvim, lo yotza, he's not going to be yotza. Amra b'chi bar Abba, Amra b'yechanan, Hakair ben Megillah, Ksuva ben Haksuvim, lo yotza. Same halacha. If somebody would read a Megillah, that's Ksuva ben Haksuvim, it's together with other Ksuvim, he wouldn't be yotza. Umachula amaycha. But after he said this, he hit it on its head, meaning he contradicted the halacha, or he qualified the halacha. Rashi says, sosar miktsasa, contradicted it a little bit. What did he say? Betzibur shan, it's only true in a tzibur. So if you're doing it in a tzibur, that's where you have to be makbid, it shouldn't be ksuvim ben aksuvim. But if you're doing it in the comfort of your home, it's not a problem. V'om rab chiyah barab, om rab yoichan. Shir hatfar, halacha l'moyshim yisinai. You have to leave over a little bit when you sew the ureas of a Sefer Torah together, meaning a little bit on top, a little bit on bottom, has to be left over. How do you know that? Halacha l'moshe mitzinai. After he said this, umachola moicha, he hit it on its head. Again, he contradicted it. He said, no, layamr elikadai l'shalo yikarei. It's just so that it shouldn't tear. It has nothing to do with halacha l'moshe mitzinai. It's there for practical purposes. Why did we mention this halacha? Because it has something in common with the previous halacha. The previous halacha was Amr Rab Chiya Bar Abba Amr Rab Yoichanan Hakoyr B'Megillah Ksuvim Ben Aksuvim LaYatza Umachu LaAmoicha. That interesting language that he contradicted it immediately. Rab Chiya Bar Abba Amr Rab Yoichanan did the same thing. Right? Sometimes you'll mention a peer of Amiran because it's unique that these two Amiran will come together in the same breath. Rab Chiya Bar Abba Amr Rab Yoichanan, there's nothing unique about that. Rab Chiya Bar Abba is a Talmud Muvik of Rab Yoichanan. So Amr Rab Chiya Bar Abba Amr Rab Yoichanan is not a reason to start mentioning all the Amr Rab Chiya Bar Abba's Amr Rab Yechanan. We'll be here for a long time if we did that. It's just that it's Amr Rab Chiya Bar Abba Amr Rab Yechanan. Umachu la amoicha right after Rab Yechanan said the halacha. That's why we mentioned this again. Amr Rab Chiya Bar Abba Amr Rab Yechanan. You have to know why this was mentioned. Umale nishtayer b'ma'ara sha'amad b'moisha v'liyo kimloi nekev machat sitkis. So Moshe Rabbeinu was in a ma'ara, he was in a cave, as the Shekhinah passed by. Eliyahu HaNavi was also in a ma'ara, as the Shekhinah passed by. And they were both told that you're not allowed to look. And they didn't look. But said Rab Chiya Bar Abba, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that had there been a hole that was even kimloi nekev, machat sitkis, the size mamish of a needle, they couldn't have been able to stand because of the oyer, because of the incredible light. Shenemar kula yirani adam v'chayv. Om Rab Chiya Bar Abba, Om Rabbi Yochanan. This one also has to be explained. May dechsiv aleihem kechol advarim, asher diber Hashem imachem. What does that mean? So all the things that Hashem said at Har Sinai, Melamed Shehereyu Hakadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe Diktukei Torah VeDiktukei Sofrim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shon Moshe Rabbeinu the Diktukei Torah. What does that mean? Rashi Ribuyim, the words that are marba, such as S and Gam and miyutim, the words that are memayit, such as ach and rak, v'diktuke seifrim. That means shediktiku achroinim miloshen mishnas arishayinim. So I don't know who these rishayinim and achroinim are, but Hashem showed Moshe the rishayinim and the achroinim. Umasha asoifrim asidim lechadesh, and he showed him everything that the soifrim are going to be mechadesh. Umay new, and what is that? Mikra Megillah. It's referring to Mikra Megillah. So Rabbi Barav said, the name Rabbi Yochanan, the Hakadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe and Har Sinai all these different things. The truth is that last gemara, we're going to stop here, but that last gemara that we just mentioned, that Hashem shows Moshe Rabbeinu everything. It sounds like, right? Not everything in this gemara, but the point is, diktukei soifrim, rishayinim, achroinim, masha, hasoifrim, asidim, lechadesh, is really mentioned in many places in Shas. And if you want to see a nice compilation of all these chazals, so the Vilna Gaon, right in the beginning of his Pirush on Ovis, Moshe kibol Torah misinai. So Moshe kibol Torah, says the Vilna Gaon, he was mekabel the entire Torah. The entirety of Torah, says the Gaon, Moshe Rabbeinu was mekabel, and he brings all the different chazals, but chazals say this, one of the chazals he brings is Megillah Yotes on the base. That Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't just mekabel the Torah Shabiksav and the basics of the Torah Shabapeh, but really it was mekabel everything. Truth is, we have a related rebite on this somewhere, but the Tosfos Yontif in his Akdama to his Pirish of Shisha Sidre Mishnah. So this is the Akdama to Tosfos Yontif. He says that if you medayik the Gemara says, Melamed Sheher Eyu HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe. It doesn't say he gave it all to Moshe. All it says is that he showed it to Moshe. And he says, Moshe Kibol Torah Misinai, but he wasn't necessarily mekabel everything. It's a very big chiddush, but that's what Tosfos Yontif says. He was mekabel what he was mekabel, and Hereyu HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe. He was seeing things that he wasn't mekabel. He said, "L'may nafgamino." So Moshe Rabbeinu knew it. But whatever Moshe Rabbeinu was mekabel, he was mesar l'Yeshua. The Yeshua l'skenim, the skenim l'neviim, anshe knesset hagdola. That went over the mesayra. Not every single ois of Torah shasid l'schadish was necessarily given over the mesayra. It's a very big chiddush from the Vilna Gaon. It's not mashma that way. But either way, we're going to stop here. So just to end today's daf with the ha'ara, something that's very interesting, and something that really brings many, many parts of the daf together. And it begins with the Sefer Megillas Esther, with the Pirish Megillas Sefer. These are very generic terms, Megillas Esther, yeah, obviously, with a Pirish Megillas Sefer. So this Sefer, Megillas Sefer, is a very interesting Sefer. It was written by Rav Moshe Meir Perlis. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. He was a Safra Vedaina in Prague. So Rav Moshe Meir Perlis, the author of this Sefer, Megillah Sefer, he was a Dayan in Prague. He was a Dayan on the Bezdin of Rav David Oppenheim. So Rav David Oppenheim was the chief rabbi, and he was the Av Bezdin of Prague in the early 1700s. In fact, he was the chief rabbi of Prague before the Noi de Behuda came to Prague, meaning the last person to have the position of the Noi de Behuda before the Noi de Behuda was the great Goyen Rav David Oppenheim. He was also, was Rav Moshe Meir Perlis, the great grandfather of Rav Elazar Fleklis, the Baal Tshuva Meir Hava. So he was Rav Elazar Fleklis' mother's father. He was his Elter Zeder. Either way, he was a Safra Vedaina in Prague, and he wrote a Pirish on Megillas Esther. In his Pirish on Megillas Esther, and this is on the pasuk that says, "Vatichtoiv Esther Amalko Bas Avichail Mordechai HaYehudi Es Kol Toikif Lekayim Esigeres Apurim Azayis Hashenis." A pasuk that the Gemara in today's daf quoted Nishteimol Tzveimol. We quoted this Gemara twice. Over there, he brings something fascinating. He says, "Quote." Nishalti me'eis adoini moiri v'rabi hagoyin hamafursim nasi hoyd b'Yisrael v'av bezdin dekila senu Prag Rav David Oppenheim. So I was asked the following question by Rav David Oppenheim. He said that his daughter, Rav David Oppenheim's, wrote a Megillah, and he wanted to know: is the Megillah kosher, or is the Megillah not kosher? This was his question. If a woman writes a Megillah, is the Megillah going to be kosher, or is it not going to be kosher? So parenthetically, the Megillah Sefer says that I just want to tell you who Rav David Oppenheim's daughter was. Her name was Sarah, and she was the wife of Hayonik, the Chochem HaMufla, Rav Chaim Yoina, who he says was an Av Bezen of a certain Kehila, and he was a grandson of the Goyen HaMufla, the Balki Koyen de Yoina. Right, the Koyen de Yoina wrote a Pirish on different Masechtas and Shas. So he says, he's an A. Her husband is an Einikol of the Baal Kakoyin Diyayna. But it seems that this woman was an Isha Chashuva Adla Ma'oid, and she wrote a Megillah. And Rav David Oppenheim went over to Rav Lozal Fleckless's grandfather and asked him a Shaila. So Shaila was, is this a Kosher Megillah, or is this not a Kosher Megillah? See, he wrote a Tshuva, did the Megillah Sefer, to answer this question, and he prints it over here on this pasuk of Atichtoiv Esther Amalka Bas Avichayu Mordechai Yehudi is called Toikiv. He writes over here his tshuva. So he says something beautiful. He says that at first glance, I said, L'cher, it's pasha. It's pasha, it's going to be pasul. So why is it going to be pasul? Because we learned the Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechtas Megillah Daf Tezayin Amid Beis that the Pasuk refers to a Megillus Esther as Divrei Shalom Ve'emes. Amr Rav Tanchum, Ve'amri Lo Amr Rav Asi, Melamed, it's coming to teach us, Che'tzricha Sirtut Kamita Shal Torah. That it requires Sirtut Kamita Shal Torah. Just like I say, V'Torah requires Sirtut, so too, Megillus Esther also requires Sirtut. So you see the Gemara, Daf Tezayin Amud Beis said, that Megillus Esther is treated like a Sefer Torah. We learned the Gemara today's Daf, on the top of Daf Yutes Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that a Megillah is Ikri Sefer, and that's why it has to be written in Ksav Ashuris, it has to be written Bidyoy, with black ink, because it's called a Sefer. We learned another Gemara, on the bottom of Daf Yotes Amar Aleph, Amar Rav Chelboy, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav, Megillah Nikra Sefer. What's the Nafgimino? She'in Tafra Bechutei Pishtan Psula. If you wrote a Bechutei Pishtan, it's possible. Now, Rav Chama Bar Gurya also said in the name of Rav, that a Megillah is called an Igeres, L'may nafgimina, that all you need is shloisha chute giden. Sefer Torah needs more than three chute giden. This only needs three chute giden. But said the Zayd of Rabbi Loza Fleckless, that you see from here, that really Megillus Esther is treated like a Sefer Torah. It needs sirtut. It has to be ala sefer, b'ksav ashuris u'bedyoy. You see that you can't use chute pishton. It has to be dafke giden. So clearly, it's treated like a Sefer Torah. So he says, no, if it's treated like a Sefer Torah, it's mistaber that it should be like a Sefer Torah as it relates to if a woman would write it. If a woman writes a Sefer Torah, it's halach and shulchan aruch, it's apostle a Sefer Torah. So just like a woman can't write a Sefer Torah, it's mistaber that a woman, and even Sarah, who was the chashiva daughter of David Oppenheim, but at the end of the day, if she would write a Sefer Torah, it's going to end up being apostle of Sefer Torah. And said the Zayd of Rabbi Loza Fleckless that the truth is it's mefurish kemat in a Rabbeinu Tam that's quoted by the Torah. So the Torah in the beginning of Simen Tofresh Tzadik Aleph, this is in Hilchas Megillah, he quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam said, quote, Rabbeinu Tam Zal Kosav Kivan Dinekras Sefer Nois Nila Kol Din Sifrei Torah. A Megillah has all the dinim of a Sefer Torah, chutz mimasha mefarish behedya, with the exception of what it says mefurish. Dahainu shem hitl bagimel chutei gidin ksheira. Whereas a Sefer Torah needs more than three chutei gidin, here three would be enough. Aval chol shara dvarim, as it relates to everything else, he can Sefer Torah, it's going to be like a Sefer Torah. And he gives examples. Linyan ibud l'shma, the Hekif Gvil, the Chatoi Teres, Chesin, the Tlias Hahein, the Kufin, the Chol Gufis Oisius, Kitzurasam, the Zuyun and Shalshat Nizgat, and he goes through Chseris Viseris, all these different dinim. So said Rabbeinu Tam, that from the Gemara, what emerges is that a Megillah has to be treated like a Sefer Torah, with one exception. The exception is that Megillah is called Igeres, that three Chute Gidin is going to be enough, but if you're going to have more, and be not going to be more, but as it relates to everything else, it's a Sefer Torah. So if it's Sefer Torah, a woman's not allowed to write a Sefer Torah. If a woman can't write a Sefer Torah, so a woman won't be able to write this either. So he's mefalful, is Rav Loza Fleckless is Zayda. And then he says afterwards, that Lefizeh, I want to say a little bit of a drush. Again, he's writing a pir, it's not a tshuva sefer. This is a pirish on Megillah's Esther. So he says, al derech drush, maybe it could be mefarish some of the psukim here in the Megillah as well. He says that it always bothered him. We learned the Gemara, this was the beginning of today's daf. Again, the whole daf's coming together. In the beginning of the daf, we learned that when you write a Megillah, so you can't write a Shalom and Aksav. You have to be steering at a Megillah, and then copy what it is in that other Megillah. So he said, how was the first Megillah written? Who wrote the first Megillah? Who wrote it? So he says, okay, the first Megillah obviously was written Baal Peh, but being that it wasn't written Mitoich Aksav, he said it's Mistaber, that Megillah was Apostle of Megillah. Because there's a din, it has to be written Mitaych HaKsav. So the first Megillah, that's the Baruch HaKodesh Namra, but fine. But the first Megillah wasn't written Mitaych HaKsav, right? It's like a brisk of art. At the end of the day, it wasn't written Mitaych HaKsav. So if it wasn't written Mitaych HaKsav, he said it's Pashit, it's going to be a Apostle of Sefer Torah. So he says, Lefi Zeh, maybe you could say like this. Vatichtoiv Esther HaMalka Bas Avichayel. Esther HaMalka wrote a Megillah. Umardchai HaYehudi. And Mordechai HaYehudi also wrote a Megillah. Eskola Taikif. And in the Megillah, they wrote the Taikif, like the Gemara said, what the Taikif means. Lekaye es igeres hapurim hazois hashenis. She says, you know what's going on? He said, they knew that the first Megillah that was going to be written was going to be Apostle Megillah. Now, if Mordechai would have written the first Megillah and then hid it away, there was a fear that maybe the Litzani Adar would say that Mordechai wrote the Megillah, and then he hid it because that first Megillah has like some of the secrets and some of the things that we're really not supposed to know about. So he went ahead and he hid it. So he said, Shaloi lahoitzi laz, on the Megillah of Mordechai, they had Esther write the first Megillah. He said, being that Esther wrote the first Megillah, so they anyways weren't going to use it. You know why they weren't going to use it? Because it's anyways not a kosher Megillah, because it was written by a woman. And being that an Isha wrote the Megillah, so it's going to be pasul. So he says, that's the pasuk. Vatichtoiv Esther Hamalka Bas Avichayel. First, Esther wrote a Megillah. Then afterwards, Umardchai HaYehudi also wrote a Megillah. Why? Like this, the second Megillah would be a kosher Megillah. This is what he says. This is his pirush that he says. And then he goes on and he continues to explain the psukim. What's the next pasuk? The next pasuk says, Vayishlach svarim, Vayishlach, not Vatishlach, not Esther, Vayishlach, Mordechai. Because now Mordechai starts mass producing the Megillah and he has to send the svarim al kol ha-yehudim. Right, think about it. He sent svarim al kol ha-yehudim. That's sitting there, there's no copy machines. That's sitting there writing Megillah after Megillah, but it's Vayishlach. Because now it's not Vatichtov Esther Amalka, because Esther Amalka is not allowed to write the Megillah anymore. So now it's Vayishlach Svarim al Kol Yehudim El Sheva Ve'esrim Umeya Medina Malchus Achashverosh. And why was it Vayishlach? Why did he have to do it? Because Divrei Shalom Ve'emes. And what the Gemara Darshim from Divrei Shalom Ve'emes? That was Rabbeinu Tam. The Gemara Darshim Alamish Etzricha Sirtut Kamita Shal Torah. So you see, it has a din of a Sefer Torah. If it has a din of a Sefer Torah, that's why they have to do it. And then the next pasuk is Umaymar Esther Kiyam. The words of Esther had a kiyam. Nish the Megillah for Esther, but the Maimer Esther kiyam Divrei Apurim Ha'Ela v'nicht of b'sefer, and it was the Maimer of Esther that was written in a proper sefer, and that's why you have a kosher Megillah. It's a beautiful pshat. It's al derech drush. This is what the Baal Megillah sefer Rav Moshe Meir Perlis, the Zeda of the Rav Loza Fleckless, writes here in his pirush. The truth is that he mentions that who asked him the Shaila? Rav David Oppenheim asked him the Shaila. The Av Beis Din of Prague. This actual Shaila is actually brought down in Rav David Oppenheim's Tshuvas. This is in the Shaila of Tshuvas, Nishal David. It's in Erech Chaim. It's in Simid Lamed. He brings the Shaila. Doesn't mention his daughter. He doesn't mention that he asked this Shaila to the Tshuva Me'ahava's grandfather. He just brings the Shaila and he discusses it. And believe it or not, he comes out not like Rav Loza Fleckless' grandfather. He comes out that it's mutter for a woman to write a Megillah. And he brings a raya nifla. His raya is as follows. He says that at first glance you would say, Rabbeinu Tam. At first glance you would say, based on what Rav Loza Fleckless' grandfather said, and that is, a woman can't write a Sefer Torah, and you see that the Megillah has a lot of dinim of a Sefer Torah, so if she can't write a Sefer Torah, so it's mistaber that so too, she shouldn't be able to write a Megillah either. He says, the problem is that if you look carefully in the Rambam, he says, I think there's a gevaldig gedik. The Rambam, in Perek Aleph, Hilchis Tfilin and Mezuzis for Sefer Torah. This is Halacha Yud Gimel. So the Rambam over there discusses different people that are not allowed to write a Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah Tfilin and Mezuzis. Shekosfu Min Yisrafu. Kosfu Goy. Oy Yisrael Meshumid. Oy Moiser. Oy Eved. Oy Isha. Oy Katan. Hare Elu Psulim V'Yignazo. And the Rambam gives a reason. Shenemar, ukshartem uchsavtem. You're supposed to put on tefillin, and then there's a mitzvah to write the tefillin. Kol shem muzra ala kshira, umaymimba hushne koysef. But someone that doesn't have the mitzvah of kshira, or someone that doesn't believe in the mitzvah of kshira, the mitzvah of tefillin, he's not allowed to write it. So the Rambam gives a whole list, he has a whole litany of people that are not allowed to write a Sefer Torah. In Hilchas Megillah, in Perek Beis Halacha Tes, the Rambam also talks about people that are not allowed to write a Sefer Torah. Says the Rambam, hoysek suva lana yar. So the Rambam here brings the list, but it's a much shorter list. What's the list? Goy oymin. So said Rav David Oppenheim, that in Hilchis Tfilin Umezuzis V'Sefer Torah, meaning in Hilchis Tam, there the Rambam said that a Sefer Torah that's written by a Goy or a Meshumid or a Meiser, and he added, or an Isha, it's going to be possible. But he said in Hilchis Megillah, the Rambam doesn't bring Isha. The Rambam just says, I should cost for Goy oymin. Over there it's going to be possible. It's Mashma from the Diak in the Rambam that the Rambam held that there's a difference between Megillah Esther and between between Stam. And what's the difference? That by Stam, over there, an Isha is going to be possible, but when it comes to Megillah, Isha is going to be kosher. And said Rav David up, and I'm Hagabatzmacha. He said, I think it's Muchach that way. He says, you know why? Because the Gemara said, in today's Daf, on Daf Yotes, the Gemara said, how do you know that a Megillah has to be written B'Ksav Ashuris? How do you know it has to be B'Sefer Ala Diyoy? Must have been Nolan Ala Sefer B'Diyoy. Asi Ksiva Ksiva. Ksiv Hacha V'Tichtoy V'Ester Amalko. V'Ksiv Hasson V'Yoyma Lehem Baruch Mipiv Yikre Lai is called Advarim Eilu B'Ani Koysev Ala Sefer B'Diyoy. We're learning halachis of how you have to write a Megillah from the words V'Tichtoy V'Ester Amalko. So said Rav David Oppenheim, it certainly sounds like Ester Amalko wrote a Kosher Megillah. How could you learn dinim of how you write a Kosher Megillah from Vatichle Vester Amalka if she didn't write a Kosher Megillah? Muzdain, she wrote a Kosher Megillah. So he says, Balkarchach, a woman's allowed to do it. And it's mashma that way in the Rambam. Why? Because the Rambam in Hilchas Stam says that a woman can't write it. And then in Hilchas Megillah, the Rambam gives you half the list. He doesn't say that a woman can't do it. Must be the Rambam omitted a woman because really a woman is allowed to do it. And there's an afkamina between Stam and Megillah. So he says, I think it's poshit that it would be okay for a woman to do it. The Shailob is from us. What's the afkamina? What's the nafkamina? And Rabbeinu Tam seemed to make a big deal that really it has all the dinim of a Sefer Torah. So if it has all the dinim of a Sefer Torah, why regarding this halacha would it be different? A woman can't write Stam, so why should a woman be able to write this? So said Reb David Oppenheim, beautiful. He says, why can't a woman write Stam? The Gemara says, it says, Ukshartem Uksaftem. Kol sheyeshnei bikshira, yeshnei bikshiva. V'chol sheeinoi bikshira, einoi bikshiva. It's because a woman is not chayif in tefillin. And as a result, we learn from there that if she's potter or she can't write tefillin, she also can't write a Sefer Torah, and she can't write mezuzah, right? One leads to the other. But it's predicated on the fact that uksharetem uksaftem. That's the makar. Kol sheyeshnei bikshira, yeshnei bikshiva. V'chol sheeinoi bikshira, einoi bikshiva. So said Reb David Oppenheim, when it comes to Megillas Esther, we know the Gemara. Megillah daft alad amad aleph. Ba'amir Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, noshim chayavois b'mikra Megillah, Sha'afhein hoyu ba'isa anes. And being that it was afhein hoyu ba'isa anes, it comes that a woman's chayv and mikra megillah just like a man is. And being that a woman's chayv and mikra megillah just like a man is, so it's for that reason it would come out, said Rav David Oppenheim, that a woman should be able to write a megillah. She can't write a Sefer Torah because kol sheyeshne b'kshira yeshne b'chsiva, v'chol she'ena b'kshira ena b'chsiva. But as it relates to being able to write, a megillah, being that women are chayiv in Megillah, just like men are, sha'afein hoyu ba'isa anes, so over here, really she's going to be able to. But just to add one knetch to this nice shmooze, and that is, aliba de hilchasa. So Rav David Oppenheim said, I think a woman can write a Megillah. The Zayd of Rabbi Elazar Fleckler said, I think a woman can't write a Megillah. Incidentally, this is brought down in the Tshuva Me'ahava, not surprisingly. So the Tshuva Me'ahava, Rabbi Elazar Fleckler, he actually brings this on in his Agoyis and Shulchan Aruch, which is in Tshuva Me'ahava, Chelik Beis, it's Reish Tzadik Hei, it's on Tof Reish Tzadik Aleph. He brings from his Zayda, that his Zayda was Machmer, and he doesn't bring the Tshuva from David Oppenheim, it seems like he never saw it, but he brings that the Chida and the Birkei Yosef somewhere says it's Mutter, and he says he's Mitzadid Lahakil. But either way, this Shiloh, so what would be the svara to say that a woman should be able to? But when it comes to halacha, maybe you could just be ma'ir one thing. And that is, so the Gemara said that Noshim Chayavis B'mikra Megillah Sha'afin Hoya Ba'isanes. So Tosfos says that if that's the case, L'chura, a woman could be Moitzi a man with Mikra Megillah. Why not? A man's Chayv in Mikra Megillah, a woman's Chayv in Mikra Megillah, Afin Hoy Ba'isanes. They're both Chayv in the Rabbanon, because the whole Mikra Megillah, the whole concept of the Rabbanon. So therefore, a woman would be able to be Moitzi a man with Mikra Megillah, stating that, Tosfos brings from the Bahag, that the Bahag says no, that a woman would not be able to be Moitzi a man. But the Bahag didn't explain himself. He says that even though a man is Chayiv and a woman is Chayiv, and they're both Chayiv in the Rabbanon, stating that a woman cannot be Moitzi a man with Mikra Megillah, even though they're both Chayiv in the Rabbanon. V'kama kulmasan nishtabru, pun intended, to explain why is it that if a woman is Chayiv in Mikra Megillah, just like a man, she can't be Moitzi a man. So when we learned Daf Dalet, we spoke out two mahalchim. One we mentioned a little bit more in depth, and the other one we said a little bit more fleetingly. The one that we mentioned more in depth was the Shagas Aryeh. Shagas Aryeh is in Turi Evin, and he says this, he saw it a few times throughout the Turi Evin of Masechtas Megillah, and that is, that even though it's true, Mikra Megillah is only a Derabbanan, but he says it's more than a regular Derabbanan, based on the Gemara Daf Zayin that says, Esther Beruach HaKodesh Nemra. So it comes out that the obligation to read the Megillah, which is mentioned in Megillas Esther, which was Baruch HaKadosh Nemra, he says, even though it's not a Dairaisa, it doesn't say it anywhere in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, but it's not a regular Rabbanah. It's not a Rabbanah like Hanukkah, where the Rabbanah just came up with this idea that this is what they think should be done. It's based on a Megillah, which was Baruch HaKadosh Nemra. And it's for that reason, says the Turi Evan, even though Mikra Megillah is not a Dairaisa, but what was his Lashon? It's Ke'en Dairaisa. So he said it Dava Nifla. He said, men are Chayiv a Mikra Megillah, Ke'en Dairaisa. Because that's what the Chayiv of Mikra Megillah is. As the Baruch HaKadosh Nemra. Women are Chayiv Midrabanon. Shafi'in Hoya Baisanes. Just like a Dirabanon can't be Moitzi a Dairaisa, the Bahag held that so a Dirabanon can't be Moitzi a Ke'en Dairaisa. So being that men are Chayiv Ke'en Dairaisa, based on the Ikur Chayiv in the Megillah, of Esther Baruch HaKadosh Nemra, women are only Chayiv Midrabanon. Shafi'in Hoya Baisanes. Someone that's Chayiv is only Midrabanon can't be Moitzi someone else that's Chayiv in something Ke'en Dairaisa. That's Pshat in the Bahag. If they were both regular Dirabanans, yeah, then for sure a woman would be able to be Moitzi a man. But they're not both regular Dirabanans. And because they're not both regular Dirabanans, so it's for that reason, the woman can't be Moitzi the man, because again, she's only Chayiv Midrabanon, he's Chayiv Ke'en Dairaisa. Another Mahalach that we spoke out, we mentioned it quickly, we didn't even mention who the author of this Mahalach is. It's the Marcheshes. And that is that even though Mikra Megillah is only a Drabanon, but the Gemara in Daf Yudal and Amin Aleph says, why is it that on Purim, from all days, we don't say Halah? And the Gemara gave a few pshatim. Rav Nachman said, we do say Halah. Kriyasa zu alayla. You have to say Halah? And we do say Halah. When we read the Megillah, we're saying Halal. Truth is, the Rambam paskins, Rav Nachman. The Rambam says that really you're obligated to say Halal on Purim, but you say Halal. You're Yoytza Halal when you read the Megillah, because Kriyas is Uhalel. So he said that the Binyan Shleimer, Rav Shleimer HaKoyim Mevilna said, that the Chiyav to say Halal on Purim is a Chiyav Deiraisa. Why? Because the Gemara learns it from a Kalva Chaymer. Umam me'avdus l'cheiras. You say Shira, me'misa l'chaim l'kolshkein. Madach when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, where they went from being slaves to being free men, they had an obligation to say Halal. Me'misa l'chaim, when they were speared the Gzeir of Haman, which was l'hashmid u'l'harik, certainly they should have an obligation to say Halal. And Kalva Chaymer is one of the Midrash HaTorah Nedrashos behem, which means it's a Din Deiraisa. So it comes out that the Chiyav to say Halal on Purim is a Chiyav Deiraisa. So when we read the Megillah on Purim, we're fulfilling two mitzvahs. We're fulfilling a mitzvah d'iraisa of Halal, and we're also fulfilling a mitzvah d'rabbanon of Mikra Megillah. So it comes out that if a woman wants to be mitzi a man, and a chinami, she's chayim d'rabbanon in Mikra Megillah, just like a man is chayim d'rabbanon in Mikra Megillah. And based on that, she should be able to be mitzi a man. The reason the Bahag said she can't be Moitzi a man is because a man needs two things out of the Megillah. Number one, he needs to fulfill the actual mitzvah Mikra Megillah. And Agav, we're using the Megillah as the proper, as the way to also fulfill the mitzvah of Halal. The man is Chayv and Halal Midday Raisa. She's not Chayv and Halal because it's a regular mitzvah Esesh as Mangarama. The Alze Loi Nemar Afein Hoya Boisanes, or even if you do say Afein Hoya Boisanes, he has a Chiv Day Raisa and she only has a Chiv the Rabbanon, so she can't fulfill him, she can't be Moitzim with the Chiv of Halal, and that's why the Bahag calls it wouldn't be okay. But the bottom line is, the Sikum, and we went through this already, the Sikum is that why does the Bahag hold that a woman can't be Moitzim a man? It's one of two reasons. Either from the Mikra Megillah perspective, because the man's chayv in Mikra Megillah came d'iraisa, the woman's only chayv in Mikra Megillah midrabanon, or enachinami mitzan Mikra Megillah, really she could be moitzi him. They have the same chiyav in Mikra Megillah. He grada has a din halal that he's going to be yoitza, and therefore she can't be moitzi with halal because she's not chayv in halal midrabanon, and he is chayv in halal midrabanon. So I was thinking that maybe there would be a nafgamina between these two pshatim as it relates to this shaila that we're discussing. Not a woman reading a Megillah, but rather a woman writing a Megillah. If a woman writes a Megillah for a man, could the man be yoitza with that mitzvah, or could he not be yoitza with that mitzvah? Pasha, you would say, she's not mechuyev. And if she's not mechuyev, maybe she can't. Rav David Oppenheim was mitzadeid, that being she'afhein hoyu ba'isa'anes, so therefore it comes out she is chayiv, and being that she's chayiv, that would be enough to say that she can now write a Megillah, and that a man would be able to be yoitza the mitzvah. Yesh lachkar, do you need that she should be chayiv the same way that the man is chayiv, in order for the man to be able to fulfill his mitzvah mikra Megillah with the Megillah that the woman wrote? Meaning, when it comes to the dinim of being moitzi, so someone that's mechuyev derabanan can't be moitzi someone that's mechuyev deiraisa. Someone that's mechuyev derabanan can't be moitzi someone that's mechuyev kein deiraisa. Right, you have... It's not just, am I chayv or am I potter? You have to know what level of chiv you have. So a woman doesn't have maybe the same level of chiv of mikra megillah like a man does. And if that's the case, just like there's a shita of a hag that says that she can't be mitzi a man, so too there would be maybe a shita that says that if she wrote the megillah, the man wouldn't be able to be mitzi. So according to the way the Shagasari understood the Bahag, that a man and a woman, even though they're both chayv, but they're chayv on different levels. A woman's chayv mid rabban and chafi and hoy boysanes, the man is chayv kein deiraisa. That's why a woman can't be mitzi. So maybe you could say a svara that according to the Bahag, so too, if a woman would write a Megillah, maybe it would help for her because she's chayiv and shafin hoy baisanes, and maybe it would help for another woman because that other woman's chayiv shafin hoy baisanes, but maybe it's not going to help for a man because klapi the man, she's an ena b'kshira, which is ena b'ksiva. But you'll tell me no, but she's chayiv at the end of the day. It's not like tefillin that she's ena b'kshira. I understand, but clapping my level of chiyah, maybe not. I don't know. Or maybe you say at the end of the day she's chay. But like the Marcheshes, that the Marcheshes said that really even the Bahag was maskim, that the man and the woman are in the same chiyah. They both have the same chiyah. The reason a woman can't be mighty a man is because of a whole other reason. Do it hollow. That's not even doing Mikra Megillah. That's not even doing the Ksivas HaMegillah. Clappy the chiyah of Ksivas HaMegillah. They have the same chiyah of Ksivas HaMegillah. Again, Rav David up and I'm saying that being that Afin Hoyabaisanes, so that would be a reason that a woman should be able to write a Megillah. By Sefer Torah, Kol Sheyeshna B'Kshiriyeshna B'Ksiva. Kol Sheyeshna B'Kshiriyeshna B'Ksiva. But over here, she's chayiv in Megillah says, why? Shafin hoy baisanes. So maybe it's totally in this shaila, the shaila of the Shagas Aryeh and the Marcheshes, as it relates to the Bahag. Again, the Bahag said a woman can't be mitzi a man. Does that mean a woman wouldn't be able to write a Sefer Torah for, wouldn't be able to write a Megillah for a man either? The way the Shagas Aryeh understood it, maybe, because it's not the same chiyuv. That's why she can't be mitzi. So maybe she can't write a Megillah for either. Because klapi the man's chiyuv, we look at her as being einoy b'kshira. We look at her as not being chayiv. What do you mean? Afi einoy b'sanes. I know, but I'm chayiv kein deiraisa. You only chayiv mid rabbanan. Your chiyuv is not, doesn't count relative to my chiyuv. The way the Marcheshes was miyashiv the Bahag, that really, they're all on the same level as far as chiyuv goes. The whole issue is as it relates to Mikra Megillah. So maybe it would be different. Now, you'll tell me, what does it do with the Bahag? We paskin like the Bahag? What does it do with the Bahag? Again, Rav David Oppenheim, all the Goyim in Prague, they were handling the Shaila, Halacha Lamaisa, Sarah, the daughter of Rav David Oppenheim, wrote a Megillah. They wanted to know if you could read from this Megillah. This was the whole Shaila over here. So we're getting involved in Lumdis, how to understand the Bahag. The reason this Bahag is important is because the Bahag is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's brought down in Mechaber. The Mechaber says, V'yesh Oimrim, that even though women are chayv in Mikra Megillah, she'anoshim ena mitzias eso anoshim. That women are not mitzi men. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure I'd be willing to bet that we're chayish for this Bahag. It's a yesh oimrim shulchan aruch. So it's a mechaber. V'yesh oimrim she'anoshim ena mitzias eso anoshim. So it's a mefurish of mechaber that we're chayish for it. So if you're going to tell me that we're chayish la'alocha for the Bahag, and it's mistaber that we are, because it is a yesh oimrim in Shulchan Aruch. So then there's makom to say that just like the Bahag said, that a woman can't be mitzi a man, maybe also a woman can write a Sefer Torah for a man. Now, the nafkamina would be that a woman can read from a Sefer Torah that a woman wrote. That even the Bahag allows you to do. But to say, afein hoya b'yisanes, and therefore a woman will be able to write a Megillah, and you'll be able to take this Megillah, and you'll be able to read from it from a tzibur, from men, could be it's totally in the shitas of a Bahag, maybe it's totally in the two ways that we explain the Bahag. The Shagas Aryeh in Turi Evan and the Marcheshes. Either way, it's just a very fascinating shmooze. The Pasuk says, Vatichtav Esther Amalka. Esther Amalka wrote the first Megillah. That's clear. That's in the Pasuk. Vatichtav Esther Amalka. Esther Amalka's Megillah. Would it have been a Kosher Megillah? Would it not have been a Kosher Megillah? On the one hand, we have here in the Sefer, Megillah Sefer on Megillah's Esther. Rabbi Elazar Flakless, his grandfather, said, no, it wouldn't be okay. Then there's a tshuva for Rabbi David Oppenheim. Rabbi David Oppenheim was Mako. He said it would be Mutter. The tshuva may have, Rabbi Elazar Flakless himself brings his Zayda. He argues with his Zayda, and he says that he thinks it's Mutter. He doesn't quote Rabbi David Oppenheim, but he quotes it from the Chida, that the Chida said that it would be Mutter. Just as one postscript, I saw in the Shailos Tshuva, Tzitz Eliezer, from Reb Waldenberg, so he in Chelek Yud Aleph. This is Simon Tzadik Beis Anaf Dalet. So he talks a little bit about the Shmuz. In fact, the Shoyal over here was Rabbi Yisrael Veltz. So we spoke out when we learned Masech the Sukkah, a fascinating exchange between Rabbi Yisrael Veltz and the Tzitz Eliezer with regards to whether the Yidden, when they were in the Midbar, did they sit in Sukkahs, and did they take Dalet Mine, Rabbi Nachman Tzvi Taksin, right? That all started with a tshuva in the Tzitz Eliezer between Rabbi Yisrael Veltz and Rabbi Waldenberg. So clearly, these tshuvas between these two gedolim were tapping into things that were very, very fascinating. But anyway, they have a tshuva about this. And one thing he writes to him, the Tzitz Eliezer, he actually tells him that he'd be very interested in seeing this sefer that Rabbi Loza Fleckless's Zeder wrote. And he says he gave it to him and he gives him a lot. He's mamish meshabech, and thank you so much for giving me the sefer. Mamish, you made my day. It was so geschmack. But then he says one hergish he had, and he says it's pasha. He said, Rabbi David Oppenheim wrote a tshuva on this topic. He wrote tshuva, whether a woman that writes a Megillah is going to be kosher or not going to be kosher. He came out that it's mutter. And then he went, and he asked one of the Chavrei HaBezdin what his Chavis Das is. So it's very interesting. Why do you ask him that? Like, why do you ask him his opinion? He wrote a tshuva, right? He wrote a tshuva himself. He was the Av Bezdin, right? The Rabbi Loza Fleckless' grandfather said, Nish'alti me'Av Bezdin, came to me and he asked me a shayla. So he says it's his hergishes, the reason he asked him a question was because he felt he had negias. He said at the end of the day, in the initial double, he doesn't say the rest of the story. He said, but the rest of the story was his daughter wrote the Megillah. And he said he sat down and he wrote a tshuva, and the tshuva was that it's mutter. And his hergish was that maybe I'm pushing in the gay of the Davi. He said, my daughter Sarah, she wrote this. So I have such a geschmack in it. So he says, therefore I'm coming out lahakel. So he says, because of Hashoichad Ya'aver Enei Chachamim. So he felt that he needed to have a second opinion. So he went to the Chaver HaBezdin, Rabbi Loza Fleckless Zayden, and he didn't tell him what he wanted to hear. He told him that he thought it wasn't okay. Vasagavain Lamaisa with this Megillah, I don't know. But either way, that was Rav Waldenberg's postscript. He says, it's posh. He says, I feel Negius over here. That's what's going on here. He says, it was his daughter. He wanted it to be kosher. And that's why he felt he wanted to hear another opinion.